day to come aside, a day to consider what you've done for us, to think upon Christ, our Savior, Lord, to consider things from thy word. And we would pray that as we would do that in this hour, that you would help us. It would be a good and profitable time. We ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to give us proper understanding and application of your word. We pray that you would bless in each class, be with our sister congregations, be with those who are not able to be with us. Lord, we pray that you would minister to their hearts this day. So do us good. We look to thee. We're thankful that we know that's your desire and intent. May our hearts be cleansed. We ask forgiveness for our sin and pray that we would be in a position, Lord, to receive the blessings you have for us. We're thankful that it's not dependent upon our works, but on Christ. Lord, we desire to worship thee aright and to stand in thy presence with clean hands and pure hearts. So help us to that end, we pray. Bless us, we ask, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, we'll read through our memory passage, and then we'll get to our lesson. Before I start, let me thank John for filling in for me last week. I appreciate him doing that, and trust the Lord blessed in that time. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. All right. I am picking up today on page 514. We're on the consideration of are some sins more heinous than others? And then the question we're on, what are those aggravations that make some sins more heinous than others? And we've considered the person doing the offending. We've considered the parties offended, and we are now on the nature and quality of the offense. And we've dealt with a few of them, and I think we may have even touched on footnote 29 that talks about admitting of no reparation. But I wanted to think about that for just a minute, because I like to make sure we're thinking, okay, now how does this apply to me? What in my life, where do I have to be concerned? Where do I need to be on guard? Because God didn't give us things in His Word because they're not a problem. So if He's told us something, then we need to make sure we're thinking about it. Where do we need to be on guard? Because Satan's certainly going to do his best. I mean, obviously, he's working when sin occurs. So what makes some sin? So we're dealing with sin. So we know it's an area where Satan's trying to tempt us, to test us, to bring us into sin. And we dealt with the part about no reparation, and we talked before where the sin of adultery, and you can't make restitution for the harm that's done. You take something, you steal somebody's, you steal money, you steal an object, you can repay them. Right? You make restitution, and generally things are back to where they were. But where are the areas that you and I might be prone to sin, right? Where there's no reparation, where you can't undo, where you can't make right. And there was one that came to mind particularly. I don't know. Can y'all think of some? Well, murder, obviously you can't make any reparation there because you can't restore a life, for sure. But think of some that you and I might be prone to commit. Okay. Ruining somebody's reputation by lying, slander, whatever. Good. That's the one that came to my mind. What we say. James warns us. Tongue, a little fire, all of a sudden you've burned the whole village down. I was curious, so I looked in my old knaves, and let me just take a minute and just kind of listen. And you may think of some other areas, but just listen to what it has to say about slander. Now, slander covers lying, it covers backbiting, it covers gossiping, all that would come into this. So not slander, the word slander doesn't necessarily appear in all of these references. But just listen to what Nave said. Slander comes from the evil heart, that's in Luke, often arises from hatred, that's in Psalms 109. Idleness leads to slander, 1 Timothy 5. The wicked addicted to it, Psalm 50. Hypocrites addicted to it, Proverbs 11. A characteristic of the devil, Revelation 12. The wicked love it, Psalm 52. They who indulge in it are fools, Proverbs 10. Women warned against it, Titus 2. Ministers' wives should avoid, 1 Timothy 3. Christ was exposed to, Psalm 35, Matthew 26. Rulers exposed to, Jude, ministers exposed to, Romans 3, 2 Corinthians 6, the nearest relations exposed to. Read that one, and that's your Christian brothers and sisters, as far as nearest relations in the Lord. Physical family, as far as physical relations. The nearest relations exposed to it. Saying wrong things. Psalm 50, saints exposed to it. Psalm 38, 109, and 1 Peter 4. Saints should keep their tongues from it. Psalm 34. Should lay aside Ephesians 4. Should be warned against Titus 3. Should give no occasion for 1 Peter. Should return good for 1 Corinthians 4. They're blessed and enduring. Matthew 5, characterized as avoiding. Psalm 15, should not be listened to. 1 Samuel 24, causes anger. The effects of it, separating friends, Proverbs 16 and 17, deadly wounds, Proverbs 18, strife, Proverbs 26, discord among brethren, Proverbs 6, murder, Psalm 31, and Ezekiel 22. The tongue of a slanderer is a scourge, is venomous, is destructive. The end of it is mischievous madness. Men will give account for. Then there are other scriptures that are unclassified that are there. But the amount of scripture given to that sin, and as I thought about it, and we're thinking about this, what aggravations make some sins more heinous? And the slip of a tongue, and the hurt, the destruction, perhaps the ruin. We lose friends. We cause much harm, division, even in a church. Say the wrong thing and poof. Everybody's taking somebody's side. And the thing about it is, our old human nature falls right in line. It's ready to do that. Whether it's our defense mechanism, whether it's our attack mode, whatever it is, we get a little offended and boom, we go on the offensive. Or we feel like we've got to say something to justify what's been, or to try to rebut what's been said. And terrible things often are unleashed. So as we talk about these things, don't dismiss any of these areas where sins are made more heinous, where they're worsened. Say, well, I don't have to worry about that area. We all have to worry about every area. And we may not be tempted in some areas as others, nor they as we are tempted in areas. But we need to be on our guard. So I just wanted to share that. I wanted to back up. I apologize if I had already gone over. But as I thought about that, I thought, it would bear mentioning and considering because of just how much that one sin we're all prone to be involved with it. And we dealt with it when we were talking about truth, being honest, the ninth commandment. And we dealt with it some there. So it's not new to you in that respect. But now we're considering, well, not only is it sin, it's a worse sin because of the result. And here, the nature and quality of the offense is what we're doing here. Now, I'm just going to, on some of these, just kind of hit a word or two so we can move on down. The footnotes 30 through 37, now this is on page 508. In response to, or in connection with, Larger Catechism question 151. But I kind of grouped 30 through 37 together, and I put a heading on it, notwithstanding what God has done. So we're committing sin, notwithstanding what God has done. In 30, it's what God has shown you and what He's made known to you, and verses that are familiar. I'm not going to read all these verses, or we'll never get through this section. You can read them, and most of them are pretty obvious. Now, footnote 31, notwithstanding the mercy that God's bestowed upon us. 32, Amos, I put here, notwithstanding God's judgments upon us, to get us to turn. And listen what it says. I'm on page 515, Amos 4, 8 through 11. So, and you can see, you'll hear the judgments and then the response of the people. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water. They didn't have any water. So they'd go to the next city. But they were not satisfied. There wasn't enough there. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also, as we read through this, note the progression of the judgment in here as well. And then the repetition. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So judgment after judgment, and yet the people took no heed. Now trust, even as we see things going on in our own land and around the world, that we don't ignore what God may be doing you say, well, yeah, he needs to judge those people, or he needs to judge the wicked. Needs to judge his people too. The lack of sincerity, as we'll see with some of the other things here in worship. Our lack of prayerfulness, our lack of bearing witness, our lack of living lives that are holy before the world. So don't pass judgment off to the people that you owe. Well, they really need it. Not that they don't. I'm not trying to justify what the ungodly do. But I don't want us to become complacent that, well, we're okay. Every day should be a review process of our heart. Right? Every day. Where am I today? Beginning of the day, where am I? Maybe what I'm facing, what I know I'm going to be facing, and for what I don't know I'm going to be facing. Is my heart ready for that? End of the day, in review, retrospect, what did I face? What did I do? Who did I offend? Did I speak a word wrongfully? Just a review process. And then, coupled with that, repentance, seeking forgiveness, restoration, because sin will separate us from God. And that's why you want to be doing this. I need to do it. You need to do it. So that we're careful. We guard that relationship, because that's the only thing the devil has as to the believer. The only thing the devil has that he can do to you is to destroy your relationship with God. He can't affect your salvation. But if he can affect your communion. Just think back to the garden. Think back to the garden. Sin came. First thing that happened that we see. First thing that happened. God came and Adam hid. Okay? Broke that fellowship and that communion. that Adam enjoyed with God as his creator. As his creator. So, same thing happens to us. Adam's not unique. We get sin. What do you feel like doing? I don't want to pray. Well, if you don't, what are you doing? You're running and hiding from God. Right? Footnote 33 is ignoring creation, ignoring what's obvious, ignoring, you know, Scripture tells us. We look about us and we see in the beauty of the azaleas are starting to bloom, and the beauty of the azaleas, the beauty that we get to see. And it was just at the ocean and the vastness, and just looking out the waves, and the Lord made it, controls it, every bit of it, the weather, and yet we ignore it. And when we ignore it, it makes our sin against God more heinous. More heinous. It makes the harm we do to others, the examples that are given here, which, again, things that we're seeing happen around us every day. The ignoring of the natural, the way God has made male and female, and what's being done, contrary to nature, what's being proposed. It certainly should bring us to our knees, asking for God's mercy upon our land, upon our children. Upon our children, they're the ones that are going to be faced with this stuff. I mean, we are too. But I'll just share this. Church I was at Sunday, minister was talking about the passage in 1 John about the children and the young men and the fathers. And the point he was making there was making sure, fathers, that the children know, one, who God is, and two, how to be saved. The young men, those entering young adulthood, having that knowledge, having been taught, right? And not only that they know these things, but they're taught such that they can defend what they know. And now when the young men are starting out and they're meeting this opposition, they're prepared to stand and to give a defense and to begin to experience, as it were, the truths that they've been taught. And the fathers, those who have experienced it, those who know from experience that God is God, and he cares for his people, and he takes care of them, and they're the ones instructing. And the contrast that he was making to this was that which he was talking about, a study that was done in 2005, asking young people, teenagers, about their beliefs. And generally, it was that you need to be good. You need to have a moral aspect to you. You need to be good. You need to be happy. You need to do what makes you feel good. Right? So that was... hopefully. I can't think of the word. I'll think of it in a minute. And the third thing was that you leave God out of the picture unless it's just so serious you can't do anything else. So you have this morality, you have this self-serving sense of what's good, what makes you happy, and you become a deist. You leave God. You know there's a God. You're not denying God. You're just keeping him out of your life. Right? Now, that was in 2005, and I forget, I think it was like 45% the young people, if I remember correctly. Those are the people who are training their children now. And so your children and their children, this is the dominant teaching going on out there, even in churches that buy into this false narrative. And that was where he was, the teaching here, and the mercies that God has bestowed and what he's done, ignoring creation. 34, let me keep going. 34, acting against our conscience. We know something's wrong. This isn't good. This isn't right. Something's telling us that. But we say, I'm going to do it anyway. Right? Ignoring our conscience. Conscience being that working of the Spirit to warn us. Of course, none of us ever do any of that, right? 35, rebellion. Rebellion. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Being often reproved. Right? Being often reproved, and yet, The fight. The rebellion. Not going to do it. You can't make me do it. I don't have to do it. Not going to do it. And not only do they reject it, their hearts harden so that next time it's even worse. Rebellion. 36 and 37, interesting. Again, it's something that we deal with today, big time. They dealt with it back then too. 36, Matthew 18:17. And I've got this, we reject church discipline. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, that is, he refuses, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Okay? That happens over and over. You know, and shouldn't be surprised. Your children do the same thing at times. You know, they hear you, but they don't want to respond the right way. You know, unless you've got perfect children. If you do, I may want you to teach your class for us. So, but the rejecting of the church discipline. And again, church discipline is a gift of God. It's there as a help, just as parents are a gift to children. If children were left to themselves to make all their decisions, to decide what was right and wrong, and, you know, not have to deal with any consequences, which is kind of where we are in some respects, it'd be a mess. Well, the church is the same way. And we ought to be thankful that there are those who care about us and want to get us back to where we should be with the Lord. But we reject it. And then you've got rejection of civil discipline right after that in 37. They've stricken me, Proverbs 23:35. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They've beaten me. I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will yet seek it yet again. You know? I was punished. I was punished. I was severely, perhaps. It didn't bother me. As soon as I can, I'm going to be right back at what I was doing. You can go over there and talk to people in our jail. And that's exactly the attitude. As soon as they get out, They're already planning in while they're there. As soon as they get out, they're going to be right back at it. Now, some learn. I'm not saying every single one. But it is common that the heart that's not in tune with God, that's the inclination. We don't care about discipline. We don't care about what God is doing. And that's the thing again. Civil authorities, church authorities, or just God's mercy in trying to help you understand. You're doing wrong. You're sinning, and yet you just keep rejecting God's warnings over and over. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All right. 38 through 41, I've labeled acting contrary to what we say and do to God as to God and man. Now again, just pay attention to some of these. 38. When he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God, their Redeemer. Sounds good, right? Promising here. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. I mean, hear people, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Yes, I've done wrong. Because that's what they think the Lord wants to hear. Or they think that's what the church wants to hear. Or their Christian friends want to hear. But they don't mean a word of it. Because their heart isn't sorry at all. And that's what they're saying here. Aggravations that make sins more heinous. 38, a show of sorrow but no true repentance. And you can look at the rest of the proof text. Again. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidst, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot. Jeremiah 42, for ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. Again, sounds good, promising. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you. Okay, I prayed and I've told you what he wants, what he wants you to do. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it. 39, vows to God. We'll deal with vows more. We get to chapter 22 of the confession. Third commandment dealt with that. We touched on it there. Vows to God. When you vow, because when you vow, if you vow other than unto God, then you're vowing to someone who has no right, and you have no right to make a vow to them. For they're no better. The reason you vow to God is because God is pure and overall. But we'll deal with that more. You can go back and look at the third commandment and pick up some of what we said there. And 40 and 41 is ignoring what we've promised to God and man. And again, you can look at your proof text there, covenant, words concerning the covenant. You've not kept your promise. We're so quick to do that. And just think about covenant. Again, anytime you think about the covenant, you just make sure you consider that you are in Christ because of a covenant. And if God the Father or God the Son acted according to covenants like we do sometimes, we'd be in a mess. We'd be in a mess. But that's our standard. You let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. You give your word. You covenant. You perform. Even, Scripture tells us, even if it's to your hurt, if you've made a bad mistake, you still perform. But as to God, you know, you come to Christ, you accept Christ, you enter into the covenant of grace, the covenant of redemption. And with that, there is an undertaking, as it were, a promise on your part to live your life the way God would have you live it. Why did Christ die? Why did Christ die? I mean, what is the New Testament? Wait, to what? Free us? Free us from what? Help me out.
Sin.
Sin. Bondage. Remember Exodus, when we started the Ten Commandments, the preface, I am the Lord your God, your Creator, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I'm your Redeemer too. All right. So if that's why Christ died, to give us that ability now that Adam lost when he sinned, affected the will that God had given to us, but now no longer can that will choose righteousness. It's bent to sin only. Christ restored that ability to do that which is right and righteous. Christ restored that ability to have communion with God. Right? So that's part of this covenant. Now, when we don't fulfill our part in seeking to have that communion, in making use of that freedom from the sin and the bondage, we're breaking our covenant with God. Thankfully, God never fails in His covenant with us. I'll be your God. I'll be your Father. I will provide what you need. I will be with you no matter what. I mean, promise after promise after promise, and He never fails in one of them. Those promises are based upon His covenant. What about us? We promise people we'll do things and we don't. Now granted, again, this is a willful and a wrong intent. We take it lightly. I mean, it's sickness, providential interference, as it were. Okay, there are things that may keep us from being able to do what we promised to do. But even then, I would hope that we're calling somebody or we're getting in touch with them or having somebody get in touch with them and tell them, I'm sorry, here's where I am, here's what's happened. I can't do what I promised. But we promise and we don't fulfill our promises. 42 through 52 is just a hard heart, a total disregard for doing what's right. 42, we're making plans to do what's wrong. 43, we're willfully turning away from instruction. Jeremiah 6:16 there on page 516. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Again, when you see statements like that, they're talking to God. That's pretty bold and pretty foolish. But yet, when we ignore what God's told us, we ignore His Word, we don't make use of these commandments that we've been studying to guide us, are we not doing the same thing? Because isn't that what God's given us His Word for? But Lord, I don't have time to read. I don't have time to study it. Well, that's a pretty narrow view. I want to broaden it a little bit. I want to do what pleases me more than I want to do what pleases you. We will not walk therein. Arrogance, 44. If you read Numbers 15, take a look. Verse 30 is there. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, well, the aught, you got to read the verse before it to find out what the aught is. And that's doing wrong. But before it tells you they're doing it in ignorance. Here, they're doing it willfully, arrogantly. The soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Exodus 21:14, but if a man come presumptuously, proudly, upon his neighbor, to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. So, an arrogance there. 45 is without shame. And that's what it says. The end of Jeremiah 3:3. The Lord's judging them. And the summation of his view of them, they refuse to be ashamed. They refuse to be ashamed. 46. We sin with boasting. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? Boasting. We do it to cause harm. We do it repeatedly. 48. These, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Repeatedly. Hard-hearted. Hard-hearted. Zechariah 49 there. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. 50. Do it with pleasure. 51, without regard. 52, going back into sin. 2 Peter passage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And that's it's a sad situation. It's a situation where, again, we talked about this a little bit with the weaker brother. Our part, our need to be careful that we aren't a tool of the devil to get them back to where this passage is talking about. To in any way prompt them, lead them, condone, put temptation before them, be a stumbling block. For if they have escaped, they are again entangled. Just a warning to all of us too, isn't it? Things that the Lord's saved us from, those sins that so easily beset us, the things that we're not careful. The old nature. The devil's not going to give up just because we get saved. He's going to work even harder. And the areas he's going to work are those areas where you're prone to be the weakest. Where you're prone to be so easily drawn away. You've got to be careful. Got to be careful. All right, section 4. Well, we'll start section 4 next week, this time. Section 4, from circumstances of time and place. And the first thing that's mentioned after that is if on the Lord's Day. Think about that between now and next week. If on the Lord's Day. How quickly and easily we take the Lord's Day and make it just like the other six. So we'll talk about that more, Lord willing, next week. Good. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we are grateful to you that you are so patient and long-suffering with us. We acknowledge that far too often we fail, we're weak. We don't do that which perhaps, Lord, even you're in our conscience at that moment telling us we shouldn't be doing. So, Lord, we again ask that you would help us, strengthen us, Lord, protect us. Here are those times that we're just willing prey, as it were. We have no strength to do the battle. Or in those days, in those hours, we pray that you would just shield us and protect us. Lord, be our high tower wherein we can hide. So Lord, bless us in the remainder of this thy day. Bless our fellowship time that follows here, and then be with us in the service. Be with Reverend Tomasi and fill him with thy spirit, and fill us all with thy spirit. Lord, help us. Help us to worship thee aright, we pray. So go before us, go with us, we ask. For we pray it in Christ's precious name. Amen. And don't forget to get your replacement section if they're out there.